Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as we've been discussing over the last few editions here, multiple scandals enveloping the administration. There's Benghazi, the IRS, and now the Justice Department looking into the records of Associated Press reporters. Charles Krauthammer on Tuesday night on Special Report, specifically here talking about how Republicans should handle the Benghazi investigation. But I think his advice is very, very good as Republicans tackle all of these scandals.
The one advice I give to Republicans is this. Stop calling it a huge scandal. Stop saying it's a Watergate. Stop saying it's a Iran-Contra. Let the facts speak for themselves. Have a special committee, a select committee. The facts will speak for themselves. Pile them on. But don't exaggerate. Don't run ads about Hillary. It feeds the narrative of the other side that it's only a political event. It is not. Just be quiet and present the facts.
Jim, I think that's great advice.
Yeah, and I think it's necessary because if you got to try to put yourself into the minds of a low information voter. It's not fun to put yourself in the mind of someone who doesn't pay any attention to these sorts of things. Many of us we walk around with just too much political knowledge to really be able to accurately assess what goes on in the mysterious, strange, cobweb-filled place that is the mind of a low information voter. Nonetheless, they're used to political fighting. And so the moment you see something kind of like the hearing, like the Democrats really wanted to see the headline coming out of the Benghazi hearing be more partisan divisions and wrangling over Benghazi. And they say, Republicans versus Democrats, Democrats versus Republicans, same old thing. They're going to dismiss it. If you can just, summarize it, quickly and easily and say, all right, well, we're not focused on creating President John Boehner in 2015. We're not focused on impeaching the president. Let's just figure out what happened and then, figure out who should be held accountable and what the appropriate response is. Because we still have huge questions on the IRS issue, on the seizing of AP reporter phone records, FOIA requests to the EPA, Benghazi, on front after front. The more you say the I word, the more this looks like a rerun of the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal. And in the end, most of the public decided it wasn't that big a deal, that it was Republicans going way too far with that sort of thing. And that's just not, a useful, resonant message for this. No matter how much we may believe or may not believe that Bill Clinton deserved to be impeached over it, you want people to say, look, impeachment is way down the road if ever it comes over this. We don't know we don't know if high crimes and misdemeanors have been committed here. We do want to get these questions answered. And I do kind of think, apparently Jason Chaffetz was asked this about by Wolf Blitzer. And Blitzer had said, is impeachment on the table? Will you take the impeachment of President Obama off the table? And I think you can, gently wrap Wolf Blitzer on the knuckles by saying, look, this is putting the cart before the horse. We have too many questions right now to figure out what the ultimate consequence of all this is. Let's get our questions answered first, and then we can think about the consequences.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think it's part of the instant information, instant conclusion culture that we're in. A sports team makes a move. Well, does this mean they'll win a championship? Everybody wants to know exactly what the end game is before all the facts come out. And I think Krauthammer's advice here to just take it one step at a time and do this in the order it should be done is very, very good advice. And hopefully the committee members up on Capitol Hill are taking that advice. They certainly seem to in the Benghazi hearings last week. So plenty to see on Friday in the Ways and Means Committee on the IRS scandal and other hearings, I'm sure, to follow. On to martini number two now and the bad martini, Jim, no surprise. Jay Carney, for the first time, really, I thought yesterday he was exhibiting a few shades of Scott McClellan, and I assure you that is not a compliment, as he was sticking to very limited talking points. I assure you, Jim, that he thinks you have an unfettered right to the press, as do I, to continue our craft. However, there is a balance there. There are things that are inappropriate and things that are appropriate that he said over and over and over again yesterday. But then one of the questions that he got was, well, the IRS has already admitted that it did something wrong here, so why do you still keep saying if something wrong happened?
We have not seen the report. We have not, independently collected information about what transpired. We need the independent inspector general's report to be released before we can make judgments. One person's view of what actions were taken or what that individual did is not enough for us to say something concretely happened that was inappropriate.
And that report has come out, and the White House did come out with what most people consider to be a pretty strong statement condemning what happened. But, Jim, the tap dancing by Jay Carney the last few days, I don't know how long you can keep it up.
You know, first of all, don't shake your head at him, Greg. I can see you shaking your head. You know, he had kind of a little hissy fit when somebody seemed to shake their head. God help you if you roll your eyes around him. The next thing, which is kind of an observation, is I've got something for him to fetter right here if he wants something unfettered. I mean, you feel a molecule of sympathy for Carney in that he's got to go out there and basically defend the indefensible. The point raised by that reporter, I can't help but get the feeling this is the administration wanting people to feel some doubt about the IRS scandal of, wait, was that ever really proven? Wasn't it kind of disputed? You know, kind of it's chaff, basically. When you're in an aerial dogfight, you need to throw off the heat-seeking missile. You just throw out a lot of sparkly items in order to distract the heat-seeking missile. Well, this is basically what you're doing here is that, you know, well, we don't know exactly what happened with the IRS. Look, the IRS has confessed to this. This is the guy, you know, this is the axe murderer confessing to why he has all those severed heads in his trunk. And the prosecutor's like, well, I just don't know if we have enough to prosecute him yet. I just don't know if we can charge him. You know, this is Carney attempting to, first of all, his last name, Carney, has never seemed quite so appropriate, has it, Greg? He's got to make desperate maneuvers because that's all he's got left. And as a result of that, he's got to pretend that the facts of the IRS situation are in dispute. He's got to act like, you know, the White House press corps is suddenly acting ridiculous. He's got to react like this is all only a diehard partisan would be worried about, you know, the attorney general looking at phone records of reporters or the IRS, you know, harassing people based on political beliefs or stuff like that. It's an indefensible line, but that's his job. And when he decided to work for this administration, you know, look, he's free to resign at any given point. He's already sold his soul. He's figured out exactly what that was worth. And, you know, I figure he's just he's working on his book deal in his head for most of these press conferences.
Well, even Harry Reid condemned the Justice Department phone record seizing scandal. So if Harry Reid's already abandoned ship, that clearly that line is not working. My only question to you on this point, Jim, is the Garrity rule on press secretaries, how long can you invoke that rule where you just walk out and say no comment and turn out and go away?
I have long said that every press secretary once a day should be given one pass.
Okay.
Where you say one tough, you know, now that the problem is that Jay Carney needs like seven or eight passes. And really, there's really not, you know, that leaves, you know, do you remember yesterday when he just got so happy when there was that foreign correspondent who asked about the drones and stuff?
Yes.
He's like, you know, yes, yeah, we're illegally killing people. Yes, that's what we're doing. We'll confess to that stuff. Just anything to get you off our case on this one. So.
Just as there are some people still defending the administration on the Justice Department's actions, there are some people still defending the IRS, apparently in addition to Jay Carney, as it turns out, when it comes to the much tougher scrutiny for conservative nonprofit groups as opposed to liberal groups. Some liberal groups even got the information from the conservative groups. But Julian Bond, the president emeritus of the NAACP, was on MSNBC with Thomas Roberts, and he is applauding the IRS.
I think it's entirely legitimate to look at the Tea Party. I mean, here are a group of people who are admittedly racist, who are overtly political, who tried as best they can to harm President Obama in every way they can.
And he wasn't done yet. And first of all, I'm not sure that there are any Tea Party admitted racists out there. But then Thomas Roberts talked about whether this could actually reignite the Tea Party. And we got this exchange.
The Tea Party had maybe lost a little air. Do you think that this is going to help inflate that, especially as we ramp up to the midterms for 2014?
I hope not. I hope they don't get any more air. You know, they are the Taliban wing of American politics, and we all ought to be a little worried about them.
Sir, do you think that's a little harsh, calling them the Taliban wing of American politics?
Not at all. Not at all. The truth may hurt, but it's the truth.
Who's the racist here?
First of all, you know you've really gone far when the MSNBC anchor is saying, hey, isn't that a little harsh? You know, somewhere Keith Olbermann is saying, oh, now that's uncalled for. Come on here. You know, I mean, well, I guess the first thing that kind of comes out of this, I mean, you know, Julian Bond, that's just Julian being Julian. That's just him doing what he does. And that's kind of what they have to do here is the issue is not anything that the IRS has done wrong. The issue is not looking at reporters' phone records. The issue is not any of this, you know, Benghazi. The issue is that the Tea Parties are really like the Taliban. Never mind that they don't behead people. They don't stone people. They're not shooting at U.S. troops or any of that. You know, besides all that, you know, they're both carbon-based life forms. And as you can tell, that makes them just like the Taliban. But this is what he's got to do. And the second thing is, you know, the truth hurts. You know, look, this is what a lot of punditry has become now, which is, you know, I've lamented this in the past. It basically has become Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You know, they take a person on the right, take them on the left, and make them fight, kind of like putting two ants in a jar, shake the jar, and try to get them to fight each other. Whether or not one side was being accurate or not was kind of irrelevant. Whether or not they knew what they were talking about was kind of irrelevant. It was just about the dynamics there, the excitement of watching people fight. In light of this, what's interesting is somewhere along the line, MSNBC took away the token righties. And I'll be honest, I don't particularly enjoy going on TV shows and being the punching bag. And they realized that probably the MSNBC audience likes it better when there's no conservative to say, oh, horse fucky. There's no conservative there to say, no, we're not the Taliban and you're a jackass for suggesting it. Instead, you get Bond saying it and everybody, you know, the bobbleheads in the audience of MSNBC get to say, yes, yes, they're just like that. Yes, the real problem is we're not doing more audits of Tea Party groups. Yes, yes, yes. Why do we let Tea Party groups exist, you know? And that's what the MSNBC audience wants. And I think it's kind of, you know, if there's any flicker of good news in the crazy martini, it's that the anchor there kind of recognized what a beyond parody joke his newscast was turning into.
Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Even, you know, we've seen Jon Stewart this week. We've seen a lot of people, Dana Milbank, a lot of people who you don't normally see casting an eye on even the presidency doing that this week. But yeah, calling any political opponent the Taliban or Nazis, you know, that's the usual shtick. But yeah, leave it alone and let the actual elements and facts of the debate play out. But clearly, Julian Bond has no interest in that. So glad he's not on our side. Jim, talk to you later.
Always enjoy it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.